The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
.902 on a Sunday night, February 21st, 2015, from the studios of WGBB 1240 and around the world at TuneIn.com and in your pockets on the TuneIn mobile apps. My name is Andrew Claudio, and it is time for a Sunday night edition of Sports Talk 1240. Stay connected with us. You can do Sports Talk 1240 on Twitter. That's at Sports Talk 1240. Or on Facebook, you can search for us, Sports Talk 1240. Or connect with me at Andrew Claudio. That's Andrew, C-L, and then audio. Also on Facebook, Facebook.com/ Andrew J. Claudio. And for those of you who have no clue who this strange voice is on the radio, will allow me, as the great poet Sean Carter once said, to reintroduce myself. My name is Andrew Claudio. I am from Long Island. I'm right here in Central Islip, New York. I'm a graduate of Smithtown Christian School. I also am an alum of Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And for those of you who have no clue where Lynchburg, Virginia is, it's in Central Virginia, and I'll try to give you some context. Okay, I'm about an hour south of Charlottesville, which is maybe – you probably know it because it's where Donald Trump has that winery, and it's where the University of Virginia is. Also, I'm an hour and a half southeast or southwest of Richmond, the capital. I'm an hour and a half northeast of Roanoke, which is where the other big airport is. 3 hours south of D.C., 2 hours north of North Carolina, literally the central of Virginia. But I made a lot of good friends there, made a lot of good connections there. I was the programming director and one-time music director of their college radio station, 90.9 The Light. I hosted their morning show, the Get Up and Go show, their Friday night show, ninth period. And after college, interned at ESPN Virginia in Forest, Virginia. And now I'm back in Long Island, and I am thrilled to be joining the Sports Talk 1240 team. So like I said, stay connected with us. Sports Talk 1240, you can listen to us on sportstalk1240.com or on tunein.com. It's going to be a fun show, and a little bit about my allegiances. And I tell people this from the beginning when it comes to sports. You do not have to win to impress me. That's probably why I went to Liberty. Although, shout out to them. Their basketball team has done very well this season. I'm a Mets fan, which is ironic because I'm about to go into a rant about how they're going to win the world. At least they're going to be the best team in baseball this year. I'm a Mets fan. I'm a Jets fan. That speaks for itself. As you just heard Ray and Nkwasi say about the Knicks, I'm a Knicks fan. You do not have to win to impress me. And I guess the one where I missed was I'm a Ranger fan because they've made the playoffs like 9 of the last 10 years. But look, we have a ton of guys that talk hockey on this station. Please don't include me in that. Not to say that there's anything wrong with hockey talk. I'm just not as educated. But we're going to get into baseball to start today's show. We've got Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. He's the former Mets beat writer, now Yankees beat writer. Traitor. I'm just kidding. We'll have him on in just a little bit. I pre-recorded an interview with him earlier this week. But we're going to talk some baseball on today's show. And probably if you hear me on, I will be talking baseball on this show. And, you know, I grew up a huge baseball fan. Smithtown Christian School, played for 6 years. And no, that's not 6 years of high school baseball. People who want to make jokes on the internet. But, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. As I said, a big Mets fan. Last year was fun. But going into this year, it's interesting because you see a lot of the articles about who the best team in baseball is. Well, here's the deal. I want to give respect to the Chicago Cubs because Jason Hayward was the prized possession of the offseason, and they overachieved last year, have a ton of young talent, and will be much improved with the fact that the Cardinals got worse. But I'm going to tell you now why the New York Mets will finish with the best record in baseball. And Yes, this may be a little biased, but I could be a little biased if I want to be, because I'm a Mets fan, and for once, they're going to be one of the talks of baseball this year. But I'm going to back it up with facts. I'm going to start with the obvious, and that's the rotation. You got a full year of Matt Harvey, Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Steven Matz, and even I'll throw in there Bartolo Colon, who has quietly been productive with at least 14, 15 wins. You know, you got a full year of this rotation, this young rotation. And I want to just throw this out there because of the era of baseball that we're in. I'm assuming everybody stays healthy. Believe me, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about Noah Syndergaard, who to me has the most talent of anybody on this rotation. But he's the one that hasn't had Tommy John surgery yet. So it scares me a little bit that he's got this much talent, has that much of a live arm, and potentially could, you know, be shut down mid-season and then not be back for a year and a half, because we've seen that with Mets stud pitchers before. But you got a full year of this rotation. You got Zach Wheeler coming back in late July, early August. This rotation last year competed for the best ERA in baseball. They were the talk of baseball at the trade deadline when the Mets traded for offense. You have a gamer in Matt Harvey who, despite the innings limits talks, which was more Scott Boras than anything else, he was tough last year. He was a gamer. Guy didn't want to come out in the World Series after knowing that his career took a shot or was in jeopardy. You got Jake DeGrom, the underrated. How someone can be an All-Star and Rookie of the Year and be probably the third most talked about pitcher on the team. He's underrated. I already mentioned about Syndergaard. And then you got Steven Matz, the local kid. And then all reliable, Bartolo Colon. You know, no more are you going to have the wasted starts by Dylan G and John Neese and Rafael Montero. No, what you're going to get this year is a consistent starting rotation. So that's just one. Then you look at the lineup. And I'm not just going to say it's Yoenis Cespedes and nobody else. I'm not going to go ahead and say that he makes this team the best team in baseball. But it's the depth 1 through 8. You know, you look at opening day last year. Juan Lagares was your opening day center fielder. Wilmer Flores was your opening day shortstop out of position. Eventually, you know, starting the playoffs, Ruben Tejada was your game 1 starting shortstop. These guys are glorified bench players. I'm sorry. They are. And now they're what they are. They're bench players. You have a major league shortstop in his Drubal Cabrera. You have a major league outfield with Conforto, Cespedes, and Granderson. You know, in limited roles, these guys like Flores and like Lagares can have productive seasons. But when you're counting on them, like how many games last year did Wilmer Flores bat cleanup? How many games did Lagares bat leadoff? Now these guys are in their appropriate spots. And this might rub Met fans the wrong way. And trust me, I'm as big a David Wright fan as there could be. I love the guy. I'm glad he stayed with the team. He's the Ed Cranepool of my generation in the fact that he came up with the Mets and will most likely be here for his entire career. But I don't like the fact that we've depended on him to be the only guy, because that's not his game. He's become a singles hitter now. The power just isn't there. It hasn't been for a while. Since they moved to Citi Field, he's had 1 year where he had 29 homers and 103 RBIs, the second year at Citi Field, 2010. Then he had the year that Johan pitched a no-hitter, 2012, bat over 300, 20 home runs, 90-something RBIs. That got him the big contract, and since then, he's been injury-prone. And now, he doesn't have to be the guy anymore. He could just be one of the guys. You can afford to sit him 40 games this year. You know, he can take his 2 months off on the disabled list. You know, heck, last year he took 4 months off on the disabled list. But now we're not depending on David Wright. Now you have a 1 through 8 and a deep bench. You know, you have Granderson. You have a Cabrera. You have a Neil Walker, who was a 3-hitter on a couple of playoff teams the last few years. You obviously have Cespedes, and he, you know, I'm just as shocked as anybody, and you'll hear from Jared Diamond, who was just as shocked as well, that Yoenis signed for what he signed for and that he ended up staying with the Mets. But that changed the entire offseason for this team. You know, Cespedes signs with the Mets, and the Deaza signing, the other outfielder who should have just been their fifth outfielder, not their platoon center fielder, that looks like a great signing now. You know, the rest of the lineup moves down. You're not depending on Lucas Duda to be your cleanup hitter or even your three hitter. Because Lucas is a power hitter. That's it. He's going to hit you 240, but he's going to hit 30 home runs and potentially 90 RBIs. You know, Darnold can be just a 5 or 6 hitter. Everybody else's roles, just they fit to them perfectly with Cespedes on this team, because he can be your bona fide cleanup hitter that just gets you 35 and 100. This lineup is deep now, 1 through 8, and when you combine it with the best pitching in baseball, maybe the best pitching of this generation, you know, how many more experts, how many more John Smoltzes or Al Leiters or Tom Glavins have to say that this Mets pitching is historic? You know, some of the great Braves of the 90s that are calling this Mets team better than them, which, I mean, they got to do something first before I, you know, put that type of praise on them. But still, this team has potential to be one of the greatest ever. That might be a little bit too much of a hot take. But hey, I'm an excited Mets fan. Because then you add in that the bullpen's deep. You know, last year, it seemed like we were in waiting as Mets fans. You know, you had Familia, but you had nothing else. And then it was, okay, well, wait till Mejia gets off his suspension. And then he got suspended again. Good riddance, by the way, Henry Mejia. Then it was, okay, wait till Bobby Parnell gets back. And then we got our 8th inning guy. Best of luck, Bobby. I'm glad you got, you know, healthy again, but I'm glad you didn't end up being... I'm glad you decided to be what you were, you know, at best a long reliever before the Mets decided to become in contention, you know, before they decided to make all those trades. So they knew they had to go get bullpen help. You know, then Tyler Clippard, who, look, postseason aside, had a great season with the Mets. He was a dependable 8th inning arm in the month of August, which the Mets went, what, 19-5? And now you look at this team, and you have Antonio Bastardo. You have Addison Reed. You know, you have Hansel Robles. You have Jerry Blevins coming back. You have Josh Edgen coming back. This bullpen actually looks good. And we'll get into the Yankees in a second, because they might have a very historic season when it comes to a bullpen. But the Mets have a decent bullpen as well. They're going to go into the season with a good bullpen as well. It's not just figuring it out on the fly. So those are three reasons about the Mets why they're going to finish with the best record in baseball. And look, I'm not taking anything away from the Cubs. Now I just go by the law of averages. Because the Cubs will play a ton of games against the Brewers and the Reds, who are bad teams, correct? But then they're going to play 40 more games against the Pirates, who have had 3 straight playoff appearances, had the second best record in baseball last year. And oh yeah, the Cardinals, who I think will take a step back, but a step back from 100 wins is what, 85, 88? And then you get the Mets division, and you could argue that the 2 worst teams in the National League are in their division. And they're going to play 40 times against them between the Braves and the Phillies. And look, I've seen a lot of experts picking the Marlins this year to take that next step. You know, a full season potentially of their young studs, Giancarlo Stanton. And of course, their missing link, Barry Bonds, is their hitting coach. That, does anybody else find that funny? Coach Barry Bonds? When Mark McGwire came clean and said, I did steroids, we all kind of forgave him. When A-Rod did the same thing, we kind of forgave him. The thing about Barry Bonds is, like, we all know he did it, but he can't tell us, like, he can't have this MLB Network confession, because he said in court that he didn't do steroids. So for him to do that, he'd be perjuring himself on national television, and yet he's still Coach Barry Bonds. The funny things you find in baseball. However, back to the point about the Marlins. I will believe that the Marlins take that next step when they take that next step. It's one of those things where I'm perfectly fine not being the one who predicted that the Marlins win 85, 90 games this year. However, they might be a little better. Let's give them 80 wins. And then you look at the Nationals. We're all saying that they have to be better than last year. Why? You know, I don't see it. They lost one of their pitchers. Jonathan Papelbon is now their closer. Bryce Harper, look, best player in the National League, up there with Mike Trout as the best player in baseball. But you realize he's going to have the exact same season, bat 330, hit 40 home runs, drive in 100 RBIs, for them to win as many games as they did last year, which was, what, 84? And then you have the Mets, this juggernaut, who will get to play 80 games against these four teams. Law of averages, Mets will have the best record in baseball. Now, I'm not one to predict that they're going to win the World Series, because the World Series and the postseason is random last year. Heck, the Mets had the fifth best record going into the postseason as far as the National League is concerned, and they won the pennant. But Met fans, there's reason to be excited as spring training has kicked off. You know, you look on the internet today, you look on Twitter, and Yoenis Cespedes reported to spring training today in what looked to be his treat yourself gift. that new Hummer, or that new SUV that he got at spring training. Yes, he is fully going to enjoy that new contract. And apparently he said that showing up to spring training today was like going home. This team gave us something out of nowhere last year. I think this next season could be even better. You know, you're looking at potentially a run with the Mets because they're young. And you know what? I just went through all of this, and I haven't even mentioned that they have a stud in left field in Michael Conforto, who, if you want me to make a prediction, have a hot take that you can take home today, he'll end up batting third for the Mets by the end of the season. Lot to look forward to if you're a New York Mets fan. And trust me, after all the years of Bernie Madoff and Fernando Martinez falling in center field and Luis Castillo dropping pop-ups against the Yankees and all of this, the Jose Reyes leaving without even getting offered a contract, you know, David Wright's spinal stenosis, it's finally time to just enjoy a good team and a good season, and you know what? A run to the postseason. Sports Talk 1240, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. You can follow me, Andrew Claudio, on Facebook and on Twitter. And I know you're probably thinking, this is just some dopey Mets fan. That's all he's going to talk about is the Mets. That's partially true. But here's something, here's a prediction. Next up, let me tell you about the New York Yankees, the 2016 New York Yankees. Here's a hot take for you. They will win the AL East in 2016. Now, I don't know about the best record in the American League. There's a lot of teams that are just that are pretty equal going into 2016. But the Yankees, they weren't that bad last year. They really weren't. They won 87 games and didn't even have that great a rotation. Now, there's a ton of questions. There's a ton of things that need to go right for this team. And a big part of that is health. You know, a lot of this season depends on whether Teixeira can stay healthy, whether A-Rod can stay healthy, whether CeCe can stay healthy. And, I mean, I literally could just say every person in the rotation. Pineda. You know, Tanaka. Eovaldi. All these guys. They're going to need to have a healthy season. But when they traded for Aroldis Chapman, my first thought was that they're now a much more expensive version of the Kansas City Royals. You know, you look at how the Royals made these back-to-back runs to the World Series. It was built on shortening games. It was built on strengthening the end of shortening a game. It was built on their bullpen. You know, you had Herrera pitching in the seventh inning. You had Wade Davis pitching the eighth. You had Greg Holland pitching the ninth. And now, the Yankees have three super versions of that. You know, you got Betances, who is going to be a future closer in baseball. He's now their seventh inning pitcher. How many times did he get five outs and all strikeouts last year? You know, for a bachelor party last year in May, I went up to Fenway Park with my buddies, and we saw the Yankees play the Red Sox. And I want to say it was 3-1, 4-3-2 in the eighth inning, and the Yankees brought Betances in with one out. The guy threw 15 pitches, all strikes, and nobody even had a chance. You know, you see this guy up close. He's going to be one of the best pitchers. He has potential to be one of the best closers in baseball if he just learns how to pitch the ninth inning. But he's got that stuff. You know, you can just see it now. Then you got the eighth inning, the lefty, Andrew Miller. You know, the guy had a very unexpected season last year. And I say unexpected because I didn't think he was that great a closer. I didn't even think he was a closer. And he came in and did the job for the Yankees last year. And how do you improve on that with, you know, the best closer in baseball? And look, you could argue that based on stats, but as far as most dominating, I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this because I could be wrong, but doesn't Chapman have, like, the most pitches ever over 100 miles an hour? And that's now the end of the Yankees' games. That's now the back end of their bullpen. So as far as their rotation, yes, they're going to need a rotation that stays healthy, a consistent rotation that doesn't get knocked out in the third inning. But they don't need to be the Mets' rotation. You know, you can live on 5.5, 6 innings from these starters. You can live on you know, Eovaldi going 5 innings, giving up 3 runs. And if you're up 4-3, game's over. This bullpen has the potential to be historic. That's how good I think the Yankees will be this year. And look, they won 87 games last year. You're telling me that adding the best closer in baseball doesn't make them 6, 7 games better? Throw in the fact that the team that finished ahead of them, the Blue Jays, lost their star starting pitcher in David Price. You know, the rest of the division, look, I get it, the Red Sox, they got better. I think the Red Sox will also make the playoffs next year. But if I'm going head-to-head Yankees against the Red Sox, you know, it's a weird world we live in when the Red Sox have two worse contracts than the Yankees. And what I mean by that is the Red Sox are stuck with Hanley Ramirez and no position to put him in. And Pablo Sandoval, you know, Met fans, we have Bartolo Colon. The Red Sox have Pablo Sandoval, who use the term athlete, professional athlete, you know, who stretch that term. You know, use that term loosely. That's the word I was trying to think of. Pablo Sandoval, they have him for the next 4 years. You know, back-to-back $100 million contracts, and the Red Sox are stuck with both of them. And don't get me wrong, they're going to be good. You know, adding David Price was important. Adding Craig Kimbrell was important. And the Red Sox are a much better team. But in a division that seems very evenly matched, because I like the Orioles, I like the Tampa Bay Rays, I still like the Blue Jays to have a better season, I'm just looking at all five teams equally. And the one team that has a strength that sets them apart from the rest of the division is the Yankees. You know, who do I trust in a September game? It's 2-1 in the sixth inning. You know, who do I trust to win the game, to get 9 outs from your bullpen? I trust the Yankees. You know, I trust that this team, which probably has the most postseason experience also. So, look, Yankee fans, I hope you enjoyed that because it was like vinegar in my mouth saying that the Yankees will win the division. But I got to be honest, I think it'll happen. I think you're going to have a fun season for baseball fans. You know, the last time both teams made the playoffs was 2006. The time before that, we know what happens. The 2000 World Series. Both years were so much fun for New York City. And I think we're going to have something very close to that this year. Two teams with championship formulas. Because, look, I'm not – the Yankee run of the Derek Jeter, the Andy Pettits, the Mariano Riveras, you know, that run is over. That doesn't mean the Yankees still won't be good in 2016. That doesn't mean they can't win any more championships because their two Hall of Famers are gone and Andy Pettit. But at the same time, this year, just enjoy it, baseball fans. Enjoy spring training. Enjoy, you know, all the talk, all the projections, all the potential. Don't start looking at the World Series just yet. Because I'm telling you, this will be one of the most fun years in New York baseball history, and you're not going to want to miss a second. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we have an interview with Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. He used to be the Mets beat writer. He's now the Yankees beat writer. He's a good guy. And unfortunately, the interview was recorded over Skype, so it's going to sound like it. But hey, enjoy it. He's got a lot of good stuff. We'll be back with more Sports Talk 1240 right after this.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines, also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Alrighty, welcome back to Sports Talk 1240, everybody. And my first guest joining me all the way from the sunny portion of America, down in Tampa. He is the new Yankee beat reporter for the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Jared Diamond. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Real quick, just make everybody here hate you. What was the weather like today?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's in the mid-70s. I haven't really seen a cloud since I've gotten here. Bright blue skies and sun. I think I even got a sunburn.
It was.
That tells you what you need to know.
Yeah, I'll say it. Before I went to work today, I put on a beanie, gloves, a shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, and then a North Face, and then had to go warm up my car for 20 minutes. So
when I left New York over the weekend, it was 7 degrees or so.
Oh yeah.
So I am not complaining.
And the wind chill. It's funny. I went to school down in Virginia, and this is the first winter that I'm back in the Big Apple. And this is the it was probably the last 2 weeks that I've actually been reminded why I hated New York winters so much and what I didn't miss about it, you know?
Yeah, this is why I'm a baseball writer, so I could spend most of winter in Florida and don't ever have to worry about being cold.
Absolutely. And look, it's different for you now because instead of going to Port St. Lucie, you'll be in Port Charlotte most of winter. Congratulations, by the way. You're now the Yankee beat reporter.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely going to be different. It's a new challenge. The Yankees are always fascinating. Whether they're good or bad, they're always interesting. And that's one thing you can't always say about the Mets. So it should be an interesting season. The Yankees are going through strange times right now. And, look, the Mets are great. They're a World Series favorite. They're probably going to be a better team than the Yankees this season, which is obviously rare in the New York baseball scene. But even when the Yankees are not at the top of the class, they're still fascinating.
Now, before we get into the Yankees and the 2016 season, let me ask you a few things about the Mets. What are you going to miss the most about covering them?
Frankly, I'm going to miss a chance to maybe go back and cover a World Series again. Had that opportunity last year, which was a thrill. It was a lot of fun covering that. Really, from the time they acquired UNSS, this went on the huge run, go to the postseason, that crazy series they had against the Cubs and all the way to the World Series. It was an incredible ride to cover, and there's a great chance the Mets are going to be right there again this year. Those young pitchers are so exciting. They're a year older. Cespedes is back against all odds. So it's just a lot of fun covering a winner. People are interested. People want to know what you have to say because you're covering a team that's relevant. But, of course, the Yankees are relevant, too. They're always relevant.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go on to the Yankees, what was your favorite part about 2015, whether it be the trade deadline or them sweeping the Nationals both times or either of the postseason series? What was your favorite part about the Mets in 2015?
It has to be the Wilmer Flores saga. I don't know how else to describe it. Him, the crying, the near trade, the home run he hit 2 days later. That was just remarkable. That's one of those stories that people will remember forever. It's sort of etched, I think, in Mets lore, and I think a lot of other fan bases will remember that scene. Flores crying on the field and then coming back 2 nights later, hitting the walk-off home run. It really set the tone for what was about to happen over the next couple months.
It's funny. You know, the Mets only won 90 games, but they were 3 wins away from winning the World Series. So asking did they do enough to take that next step, it's kind of a weird question because they still have to win the NL East. Do you think they did enough to win the division and get back next year?
I do, because I think the team is better by virtue of the fact that you have Matt Harvey another year removed from Tommy John surgery. You get a full year of Noah Syndergaard and Steven Nass barring injury. So that starting rotation, which was excellent all year last year, is even better now. It's going to be really what you saw through the postseason, which was so dominant. Plus, you have Zach Wheeler due back from his Tommy John probably around July. So a pitching staff that was already extraordinary, maybe the best in baseball, has a chance to be even better. Plus, you have Yoenis Cespedes for the full year. So really, you have a team that – you have the team they had at the end of the season at least – that good back this year, which I don't think anyone expected. I don't think people thought they'd be as good as they are going into the season. And look, I do think the Nationals are going to be better. I don't think they're going to be the disasters that they were last year. They have a new manager. There's too much talent there to totally collapse. So I think there could be a good race in the NL East, but the Mets are certainly primed to get back and win that division again.
How stunned were you that Yoenis re-signed?
Oh, it was shocking. It was completely shocking. Look, by the time it happened, by the day it happened, I think it was starting to become more clear that it was a possibility. But even 2-3 days before, it still seemed impossible. The Mets had all but ruled it out. They had made no secret of the fact that they expected Yoenis Cespedes to sign elsewhere to receive a long-term contract that he ended up not receiving. And the Mets were able to swoop in and get him at a good price, a deal that really works well for them. He has that 1 year opt out, which the Mets are very happy about because they didn't want to commit to him long term. And yes, look, if he has a good season, we go into the next offseason and this all happens again, another free agency for Cespedes. But I think the Mets are comfortable with that, and they know they have a very motivated player in a year where they have a chance to get back to the World Series.
Talking to Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. Now to your new team, the New York Yankees. And it's weird that you kind of hinted at it. you'd never think that you'd be taking a step down in success as far as performance on the field goes, going from the Mets to the Yankees. Just a hint on that, the state of the Yankees right now.
I am not convinced that the Yankees are as bad as I think some people think. I think this is still a good team. There's a lot of talent here. Yeah, there's a lot of question marks. They're older. There's a lot of injury concerns. But you go into spring training really knowing what the lineup is, knowing what the pitching rotation is. You know the bullpen is otherworldly good. So there's a lot of potential for greatness here. This is the kind of team, looking at it right now here on, you know, in the middle of February, that if you told me they were going to win 95 games or win 75 games, I would believe you, that I could very easily see scenarios for both of those. If everything works out, guys stay healthy, these older players produce, this is an excellent team that can win the AL East. If you go into the end, everyone gets hurt and guys break down, they don't perform, this is a very bad team. Chances are they're somewhere between those two extremes. But that still is a team that's potentially good enough to get back to the playoffs, I think, but there's certainly a lot of things that need to work out.
Now, as you mentioned, they're a much older team, a more injury-prone team. If you had to pick a player that can't get injured, that if this person has injuries or setbacks, they're in big trouble, who would it be?
I think Mark Teixeira is definitely a good candidate for that, just considering what's happened with Greg Bird. He was a very nice safety net, knowing that if and when Teixeira were to go down, you had a first baseman who you feel very good about, the first baseman of the future. That's gone now. The Yankees really don't have that backup first baseman at this point, and it stands to reason they won't really ever have one, depending on if they bring somebody else in, which seems unlikely. So they really need Teixeira to stay in the field and produce. He was excellent last year for them before he hurt his leg. They have to hope he could recapture that. And another one is Masahiro Tanaka, the guy who's supposed to be the ace, but every time he goes out there, you're holding your breath that his elbow's finally going to pop. So I think those are the two guys for that one.
How much better did Aroldis Chapman make this team?
Certainly helps, because now you have three guys in the back of the bullpen. You're able to shorten the game. The thing about this bullpen now is that it counteracts the Yankees' biggest weakness, which is the starting rotation. There's a lot of inconsistency there, but now all those guys have to do is really go 5-6 innings. And if you have a lead, you're very confident you're going to win the game. This is sort of the model now, right? The Kansas City Royals did this over the last 2 years. They've gone two straight World Series and won one, largely because of that incredible depth in the bullpen, able to shorten that game, take the ball from the starting pitchers. I think the Yankees are, in a way, trying to mimic that.
Has there been any hint from Joe, and again, we're talking to Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal, has there been any hint from Girardi or anybody in the organization about what the five-man rotation will look like? Because I know there's six, there's going to be an odd man out, but who would be any hint from that?
It seems Ivan Nova is going to be the odd man out. Really, the only other, assuming everybody's healthy, of course, the real only competitor potentially would be CC Sabathia. And just considering how much money he's making, his past, his history, and the success he had at the end of last season with the knee brace, I'd be very surprised if he ends up getting bounced. So Ivan Nova will almost certainly be the odd man out, going to a long man sort of role. But the Yankees are hoping they have a choice to make, because the reality is one guy gets hurt and all of a sudden you don't have a surplus anymore.
Now you actually kind of answered this with the way you answered the first question. Now, this team, with their flaws, they won 87 games and made the playoffs with the one-game playoff last year. Who would you say is the team, whether it be the Red Sox or the Blue Jays, that challenges the Yankees the most for the NL East, the AL East?
I think the AL East is really competitive overall. I think Boston's a lot better with David Price. That's going to make some good games. The Blue Jays still have that great lineup. Also, look, Pecota put out its projections recently, and Pecota had the Tampa Bay Rays winning the AL East, which I think is a big shock for a lot of people. Now, that's not to say Pecota is always right. Certainly not always right. But what that tells me is that the American League East is likely going to be very competitive. I think the Orioles have a chance to be good, too. I really could see any of these teams being in it at the end. So it should be a lot of fun.
Again, we're talking to Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. Last thing from me, I'm going to go and just say say a bunch of different names of guys on this team. You tell me their health, how they're doing right now as far as health is concerned. CC Sabathia
says he's doing well. The big question is whether he's able to sustain the success he had last year after putting on the knee brace. He was very resistant to wearing a knee brace on the mound through the entire season. He finally agreed and really was excellent after putting it on. Of course, he had the stint in alcohol rehab. You hope that that's all taken care of. That will always be a struggle for him for the rest of his life. But if he's able to keep that knee brace going, and if that's able to work for him all year long, you hope he's able to do what he did down the stretch last year for an entire season.
Masahiro Tanaka.
Another big question mark always. Tanaka has said, look, he knows that there's always going to be a spotlight on him every time he pitches. The elbow is certainly a concern, but he stayed healthy generally last year. I think the larger question with Tanaka at this point is even less can he stay healthy, but can he be the ace? Could he be the guy that we saw briefly in 2014 when he was just so excellent? And I don't know the answer to that. I think the Yankees are hoping that he could rekindle it, but it might not be possible. That's what we're going to see this season.
Mark Teixeira.
Haven't really seen him yet, but seemingly a lot better. People forget about Teixeira that he was healthy last year until what you would describe as a freak injury. This is the guy that fouled the ball off his foot. That could happen to anybody. I know he's had a lot of injury problems in the past, but until that foul ball off his leg, he was healthy and very productive. So the Yankees are hoping that that continues.
Carlos Beltran.
Look, everyone knows Carlos Beltran's best years are behind him. There's no doubt about it. But the reality is they're not counting on him to be necessarily a star anymore. They just want him to be productive. And look, they'll get him some time at DH as well throughout the season. He was good last year. He played 133 games. He hit .276, hit 19 home runs. They'd be very happy to have that again.
All right, I got two more pitchers, Eovaldi and Pineda.
Eovaldi, he's apparently doing very well. I think he's a guy that you're going to see should be healthy. He was up and down last year. He's kind of been up and down his whole career, but he seems to be doing okay. And Pineda, well, he's enough. It's just that's the whole team, right? Every single one of these guys has question marks. He said recently that his goal for the year was 200 innings. He looks good. He seems slimmer. Is my understanding of what he was a year or two ago. I obviously didn't know him then. I don't really know him yet this year, but I will get to know him. He has great potential still, and he's still very, very young. There's a lot of hope for both him and Eovaldi that they could still emerge because they're young and they're talented.
And then one more position player, and to me, for my two cents, he's the most important player to this team this year, and that's Jacoby Ellsbury.
The Yankees signed him to that giant contract. He has not quite lived up to it yet. I don't know what there is to say about Ellsbury. He just hasn't played very well. His first year at the Yankees, he was healthy the whole year, played 150 games, only a .271. Last year, he wasn't that healthy. He struggled. This is a guy that the Yankees didn't play in big games last year because of just lack of production even more than health. So they need him for sure. They're paying him a lot of money. The reality is he has not been even close to the player that he was in 2011 since. I don't know if that year was just a fluke, if he still has another couple great years left in him. The Yankees better hope that he does because they have a lot of money invested in this guy for quite a long time.
I have an idea when it ends. So
thanks again, Jared, for joining me. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jared Diamond. And listen, last thing from me, is there anything you want to say to Mets Twitter? Because you kind of became a fan favorite over the years.
Huh. I just want to thank them. It was a lot of fun covering the Mets. They were great. The Twitter followers, the readers, made it fun. I just hope they know that me leaving the Mets is certainly not personal. I know Mets fans take everything very personally. They're very passionate, which is great. This is not a situation of me thinking I'd rather cover the Yankees or I'd rather do this. It's just the way it works sometimes in this industry. Newspapers make changes. They move you around. And I have a feeling they haven't seen the last of me yet. They haven't seen the last of me yet. I'll leave it at that.
Well, on behalf of Mets Twitter, Jared, we thank you for your work with the General over the years covering the Mets, and we wish you the best of luck, not the Yankees the best of luck, but we certainly wish you the best of luck, man.
See you at the Subway Series.
Absolutely. Hey, take care, man. Enjoy Florida.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I know everybody close to me that knows me personally is getting a kick out of the fact that the first show I did here in New York is 50% about the Yankees so far. But, hey, thank you to Jared Diamond for coming on today's show. I appreciate it. You can follow him on Twitter. Again, he's Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. He's the Yankees beat writer. He did a great job with the Mets. He really did, and he's going to do a great job for the Yankees as well. You can follow him on Twitter at you know what I almost just did? It's at Jared Diamond, and I always said diamond like, you know, a diamond ring, and I was going to say Jared like Jared from Subway, except that means something totally different in 2016. So, yes, it's at Jared Diamond, J-A-R-E-D. Quick social media reset. You could follow Sports Talk 1240 on the Twitter at Sports Talk 1240. Also search on Facebook Sports Talk 1240. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew Claudio. Again, Andrew, like it's always spelled, and Claudio, C-L, audio. It's also on Facebook.com/AndrewJClaudio. Also, I have a new show coming out on a new podcast coming out, I should say. It's called Final Score. It's going to come out tomorrow night at midnight. You can also check out this show with me and Ray and Nkwa. The show we did tomorrow, you can check it on Sports Talk 1240 in the morning as a podcast. Yeah, that should be fun. And if you heard their show, they talked heavy on the New York Knicks and how they've done down the stretch and what's happened in the last 15 games that led to their head coach getting fired. I'm going to say this about the New York Knicks, because I've given up on this year. They're 24-33. They have a West Coast trip still remaining. This season's over. And the biggest question you're going to have to ask yourself as a Knicks fan is, who's going to be the head coach next year? And I've heard everything from Brian Shaw and Luke Walton, guys that have ties to Phil Jackson. Let me tell you something. The guy that needs to be, not just should be, needs to be the head coach of the Knicks next year is Tom Thibodeau. And I get it. There's this narrative about him that he wears his players out. The Knicks have a 20-year-old 7'3" stud. But if I could just point out, if you're getting me to the playoffs and winning 60 games a year, you can wear out my young players. You really can. I'm perfectly fine. Like, look at Thibodeau's record with the Bulls. In 2011, his first year, 62-20. The next year, a strike-shortened season, 50-16. He lost Derrick Rose in the first round, and they get eliminated by the Sixers. The next year, 45-37, they lose to the I think they lost to the Heat in the second round, but they beat the Nets in that seven-game series here in Brooklyn. The next year, 48-34. His last year, 50-32. That winning percentage is better than the Knicks have had in the last 15 years. You know, what he gets out of his players, he gets them to play defense. He plays to their strength. You heard Jimmy Butler saying a few weeks ago that this team is out of shape. Why? Because they don't play as many minutes. The Bulls have taken a step back because they don't have a coach that demands that much out of them. And look, I get it. There is a fear of him wearing out Porzingis at 20 years old. But I more look at it as maybe he's the thing that Porzingis needs to learn how to play dominant defense. You know, you look at the best era of my life as far as the Knicks are concerned is the 90s when every game – you knew the Knicks were going to play lockdown defense. You knew that they were going to try and hold a team under 70 points and just try and score over 70. And you had these ugly games that were 77-78 or 72-65. And the Knicks just won ugly. But you know what? They won. And that's what they could do if Thibodeau's the coach. I don't want to make guarantees because there's no way to prove this. But I have a theory that if Thibodeau was the coach from the beginning of the season, their record would be reversed. They'd be 33-24 because this team, look, maybe now they're terrible because they have no coach and they're going nowhere the rest of the season. But this team has talent. This isn't last year. This isn't a 17-win roster. The Knicks team has NBA players on it. Aaron Aflalo, Robin Lopez. Calderon is a good backup point guard. Yeah, and that's going to be their number one priority in the offseason. But Porzingis is better than we all expected. Carmelo Anthony has taken a step back. He doesn't need to be, you know, 40 shots a night. Excuse me, I'm exaggerating. 35 shots a night. He's taken a step back as the plan B, the backup star to Porzingis. And if they get a point guard next year and you add in a coach that stresses defense, I think this team could win 45, 50 games next year. And it's annoying that as a Knicks fan, we're looking to next season again. You know, that 54-win season and the two seed where they lost to the Pacers in the second round seems like it was 16 years ago. And the reason I say 16 is because that is the last time I was that, like, super excited about a Knicks team. You know, the Allen Houstons of the world. The Trell Sprewell years. The Charlie Wards. The Larry Johnsons. The Marcus Cambys. The very tail end of Patrick Ewing. Those rivalries with the Pacers and the Heat. That's the Knicks team that I grew up watching and grew up loving. And now, we're left figuring out who's even going to lead the Knicks team as a coach. Tom Thibodeau's the guy. And we could debate this. You could say he's going to wear out our players. But if he gives me 4 years where their lowest win total is, lowest win total is 45 games, you know, you get a couple 50-win seasons, a couple number one seeds in there, I'll take my chances. Because fact of the matter is, if Derrick Rose doesn't get hurt, we never know how good that Bulls team actually would have been. We never find out how good the Bulls are because Derrick Rose got hurt. So, yeah, Tom Thibodeau's the guy. And, you know, if you ask me tomorrow, do the Knicks, what would I rather have? Phil Jackson and whoever he picks as coach, or he leaves and goes to L.A. and the Knicks get Thibodeau? I got to be honest, I'm kind of leading toward Thibodeau. But we'll see. Got about 5 minutes left in the program, and I want to give you guys some etiquette. Follow me on Twitter because I like to live tweet certain events. I want to give you guys some etiquette. This show is from 9 to 10 tonight, and one of the shows I like to live tweet during. You know, I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad when it was on. Big fan of Game of Thrones. Big fan of this OJ show, the American Crime Story, the dramatic reenactment of OJ Simpson, The People versus OJ Simpson. Which, before I get to my point, I'm just gonna make one critique about this show. Cuba Gooding Jr. is not OJ Simpson, and I've yet to be lost in his character yet. It looks like it's Cuba Gooding Jr. You know, he's more believable as the dude from Jerry Maguire. He's not OJ. This is a minor critique. But I like the live tweet shows. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew Claudio. We can live tweet during shows. But probably the most popular show on television, not probably, the most popular show based on numbers on television is The Walking Dead. And this show was during The Walking Dead. And I just want to let you guys know the proper etiquette for tweeting during these shows. And it's don't spoil it, okay? I've stayed away from Twitter a majority of tonight because I've had too many times, you know, when The Walking Dead's been spoiled for me. And I'll say this now, if you're currently binge-watching it on Netflix, spoiler alert, I'm going to tell a story. There was an episode where Daryl's brother Merle, he died, and I didn't watch it until the next morning. I was in college. I had a paper due the next morning on Monday, so I skipped The Walking Dead, said I'd watch it Monday after class, and when I woke up Monday morning, I was still doing college radio, so I got up before everybody else for the morning show, and I did what normal people do back then it was 2014, 2013. I did what normal people do. They check their phone, and I check my phone, and I check Instagram, and a friend of mine, his picture was a picture of Merle as a walker. Don't do that. That's just mean. Some people haven't seen the show yet. And look, I get it. There's that rule, stay off social media. But how about just don't be a jerk? Just don't do that. That's the rule. We can live tweet sports all we want. With these shows, just don't do it. You could be vague about your comments on social media, okay? Anyway. Got about 3 minutes left. Thank you to everybody who has tweeted at me during the show again. Final score. Check it out on SoundCloud/FinalScoreAC. Also check it, check it out on my website, andrewclaudio.com/FinalScore. It's coming out later this week. Should be a good podcast. If you enjoyed this show, you will enjoy this, this new show that I'm doing. Also, thank you to everybody who has made this first episode of my first show on Sports Talk 1240 a good one. To my buddy down in North Carolina, my old college roommate, Steven the Tree Mull, thank you for tweeting. Realize, we have people down in North Carolina listening to us, which he's down like south of Charlotte, which if anybody's ever looked at a map, if you go like 5 feet south of Charlotte, you're in South Carolina. But somewhere in that 5 feet is my college roommate. So thank you, Steven. I appreciate it. To all my buddies, all the people on Long Island that are listening right now, I appreciate it. I mean it, guys. This was fun. And if you're a baseball fan, I go back to my first point. The Mets are going to be good this year. The Yankees are going to be good this year. This will be a fun season if you are a New York baseball fan. And also, last but not least, thank you to Jared Diamond for coming on today's show. You can follow him on Twitter, @JaredDiamond, okay, from the Wall Street Journal. He'll be a good listen. We'll see you next time. Thank you to everybody for making this a successful show. And, hey, have a good week.
Peace.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.